Yesterday, I was talking to you about the importance of your behavior and the importance of the way you talk. And as I was saying, the way you behave is something that anybody can observe. And the way you talk is something that anybody can hear. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is something that nobody can necessarily observe. And I refer to that that goes on underneath your skin. Nobody can get out of your skin, can you? And we all live there. And it's not really possible to tell what's going on underneath your skin. You can have a smile on your face and be pretty mad on the inside. You can look kind of glum and really feel pretty good. Remember one lady was telling me she was taken by surprise. She was a new lady in the nursery department, and the janitor came in, and they had been doing some cutouts, and so there was paper all over the floor. And he's a fellow that always looked like that. And he'd say, "You kids clean up this floor or I'll throw you all in a furnace." And the lady said, "What kind of a man is that?" But then she looked at the children and they were just smiling because they knew him. And all he was really saying was, "Hello, kids, I'm glad to see you." But you couldn't tell it by the way he sounded. And I think that's often true, that if you try to make an estimate of what's going on underneath an individual's skin just because they're looking grumpy, you might miss it. But one thing is for sure, you know what's going on underneath your skin, whether anybody does or else does or not. And we have varying kind of reactions, don't we, to the same circumstances. One mission director was telling me about two couples that he had located on an island. And they were to work with some the natives. This was an Indian island where there was a reservation. And this director came there one time to visit these two couples. And he walked into the one home, and the couple said, "Boy, are we glad to see you. We're so fed up with this place, we can't stand it anymore. The kids swear, and they got lice in their hair, and they don't behave themselves. And when we have a Bible study for the old folks, they don't come out, and we don't like the taste of the water. We've had it. We want out of here." And so he went to the next house. Same island, same people, same living conditions. And he opened the door, and this fellow's face was all covered with soot. And he said to the director, "Come on in. You couldn't believe what just happened. Why, this house was as spick and span as it could be a couple of minutes ago, and then our oil stove exploded and poof, and look at this mess. Isn't that something?" He says, "My, are we having the time of our lives around here. You know, when we came, the kids wouldn't behave, and they had lice in their hair, and the old folks didn't come on time, or they slept through our Bible studies, and we found ourselves being pretty disgusted with them. And then it dawned on us that we were contradicting the very thing that we were teaching these people, that God will fill your heart with love and joy and peace, and here we can't stand these people, and we're trying to tell them that they're supposed to stand each other. And you know, we just ask the Lord to forgive us and to fill our hearts with love and joy. And you know, that just made all the difference in the world." He said, "By the way, the other day, I was walking down on a dock and some of these Indians were going fishing, and I jumped in a boat and said, 'Hey, would you take me along?' And they tolerated me for a while, but you know, I'm making friends with these people. They still sleep through the Bible studies, but we love these people." Now, there's two couples on the same island working with the same people. One of these couples mumbling and grumbling to themselves and saying to themselves that love and joy and peace would be ours if we could get off this island. And that could be some of you talking the same way. If I could get out of the situation I'm in, that would do it for me. But the other couple discovered that the good Lord was with them, and that the good Lord would come into their lives if you wanted them to, right where they're at. Well, you know, every day of your life, you're either going to reveal or conceal your reactions to what's going on. Now, whether you reveal or conceal your reactions, you're going to have some reactions, are you not? And so we talk about feelings and emotions. We talk about good feelings and bad feelings, don't we? And we experience sometimes a highly pleasurable and satisfying response to things. And so we call ourselves excited or thrilled or ecstatic or exhilarated, don't we? But you know, that's not a very good judge of whether your responses are good or not. You can be thrilled over cheating somebody. You can be ecstatic because you pulled a fast one on somebody. You can feel quite pleased with yourself because you successfully lied your way out of something. So just the criteria that I felt good about it is not really enough. But then there's another kind of condition. And in this case, your muscles are all tensed up. And maybe your heart beats, pounding. And your hands are sweating. And you sense a spirit of hostility or anger or rebellion. And we call it misery. Now, this is one thing that I want to call to your attention, the fact that when there are emotions involved, that involves your whole body, there are bodily changes involved. And that's why it's so important for you to pay attention to a good knowledge of what the emotions are all about, because this is happening underneath your skin. This is where you live, and you can't get out of your skin. Now, you can get out of Florida, but you can't get out of your skin. And so I think it's important that you listen carefully here, because you can either have a wonderful time underneath your skin or a miserable time underneath your skin, and it's all up to you. There is nobody that can crawl underneath your skin. True? They can move into your house, but they can't get under your skin. That's where you live. And that's the part that you can control. Now, I want to call your attention to some statements that some people make that are not Christians. And this man, Dr. English, is a Jewish fellow, in fact. But I'm calling to your attention that whether people are Christian or not, there is agreement as to the effects of emotions on your body. Now, let me just read what he said. He said there are certain emotional centers in the brain, and they're linked to the whole body with what we call the autonomic nervous system. And so he described charges of emotions that originate in the brain and spread down the spinal cord and all through the body. You see, that's, well, and it'll affect the blood vessels and the muscle tissues and the mucous membranes and even the skin. Now, under emotional stress, he points out that all parts of the body are subject to physical discomfort because of a change of blood nourishment or glandular functioning or muscle tone. Now, maybe you could ask, how can thoughts and feelings going on in my head cause pain in some other part of my body? But have you ever gone to the doctor with some aches and pains? Maybe muscular aches and pains, or your digestion wasn't working right, or your heart was palpitating, or you're all wore out, and the doctor examines you and looks at you and he says, "Do you have any problems?" Have you ever had that experience? And you wonder to yourself, what difference does it make to him whether I have any problems or not? I came here because I ache. But you see, he knows that there is a relationship. For instance, an emotion such as fear, he says, can cause the mouth to become dry. Isn't that right? I remember one time we had a lady come to our church. She was a missionary, and she got up to speak, and she began licking her lips and swallowing, and we realized that her saliva glands weren't working. And she kept that up, and we started licking our lips for the poor lady. And after a while, one man, he thought he was doing her a favor. He went and got a glass of water and brought the water up. And the lady tried to drink the water, and she drank the water, but it didn't help. You see, she was afraid of us. And as a result of being afraid of us, her mouth went dry. Isn't that something? Laboratory tests show that under stress of emotion, this same decrease in glandular activity can occur in the mucous membranes of your digestive tract. Not only does the blood supply change markedly, but secretions of various types increase or decrease in an abnormal manner, and changes in muscle tone and in the digestive region can occur, causing painful cramps. And you see, that's what colitis is. It's a cramp in the colon. And you go to a doctor and you're limping along and you say, oh, I hurt. And the doctor says he can't find anything wrong. And you say, you can't find anything wrong? I can hardly stand the pain. Now, how could that happen? Well, now let me illustrate. You can do this if you want to, too. Just double up your fist. That hurts, doesn't it? What do you want to hurt yourself for like that? Look what I'm doing. I'm cutting off the blood nourishment. It's getting purple here and white here, and it hurts. And you say, well, stupid, why don't you just relax your fist? And, yeah, look what I did to myself. Now, that's I can control that muscle. Now, your colon is also a muscle, except you can't control it. But that's what happens to your colon. It does the same thing. All it does is tighten up when you're mad. You've heard people say, I can't stomach him. Ooh, and you got a stomachache. It has also been proven that emotional stress will increase the size of the blood vessels in your head. Did you ever hear anybody say, he gives me a headache, and you got a headache? Now, what happens there is that the blood vessels in your head simply dilate like that and press against the nerve endings around the blood vessels, and so the nerve endings hurt. There's nothing wrong with your head. Something wrong with your heart, and you feel it in your head. This is an amazing body we have, isn't it? Now, let me read you what he has to say about the heart. Listen to this. Without the presence of any heart disease whatever, psychosomatic patients are prone to increased heart rate. Have you ever found yourself getting angry and at the same time realize that your heart's pounding? Just because you're mad. Boom, 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 boom. And your hands are sweating. You see, there's a relationship between your spiritual condition and your bodily condition. Without the presence of any heart disease whatever, psychosomatic patients are prone to increased heart rate and irregularities of rhythm, unusual sensations about the heart, such as oppression and tightening and pain and numbness, and sometimes accompanied by a shortness of breath and a feeling of faintness and weakness and giddiness. And along with this so-called spell, there may be a general all-gone feeling and free perspiration accompanied by a sinking sensation and a feeling as if the patient wanted to fall into a heap. You can have all of those sensations. Nothing wrong with your heart. Now, listen to this. For decades, he says, it has been known that a personality problem which cannot be solved by the mind is prone to be turned over or taken up by some other part of the body. When an irritating friend or a troublesome family member cannot be coped with, the patient becomes sick. Have you heard folks say that? You make me sick. And you're sick. He can't stomach it. Or it gripes him. Now, the physician knows that the cause of these gastrointestinal disturbances is emotional conflict. He knows that it is the attitudes of generosity and responsibility struggling with an opposing wish to escape them. And then he lists the emotions that are involved. And listen to this list. Hatred, resentment, rage, frustration, self-centeredness, envy, jealousy, sorrow, love need, fear. Did you ever hear of a list like that before? Would you know where to go to find a list like that? Let me read you one. In the fifth chapter of Galatians, it talks about the works of the flesh. Let me read you the works of the flesh. This is in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lust, idolatry, witchcraft. You say, well, those don't apply to me. Well, let me keep reading. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, and murders. You see, that's the same kind of list that this man is talking about. And on the basis of scientific research and collecting the data that he has gotten from his patients, all he has come up with is a simple biblical principle. And you know, when the Bible says that you don't need a research project, all you need to do is take the Bible at its word. And so that here is a man who has nothing to do with God at all, comes to the same conclusion that the Bible does. He could have saved himself all that research, couldn't he? If he'd have just taken the Bible at its word. Now listen to this description by two other psychologists. If aroused to a high pitch, shame, distress, hate, envy, jealousy, all strike to the very core of our being. And they leave us worn and tired and incapable and almost helpless. The blush of shame, the haggard countenance of distress, the consuming burning of jealousy and envy, and the facial and vocal expressions of hatred are striking testimonials to the deteriorating effect of these emotions. We jump with joy or we droop with sorrow. See, these are just pagan people watching and observing what happens to us. Now, some of you might have read a book, None of These Diseases, by Dr. S.I. McMillan. And he's a fellow that writes very graphically. And let me read to you a description in one of his in his book of hatred. He says, "The moment I start hating a man, I become his slave." Isn't that right? You might hate somebody that's in another state. And you are that person's slave. Because here you are spoiling your week in Florida because you hate somebody in another state. Now that's slavery. He says, "The moment I start hating a man, I become his slave. I can't enjoy my work anymore because he even controls my thoughts. My resentments produce too many stress hormones in my body, and I become fatigued after only